and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we speak these words that are found in the scriptures, we are reminded of your care for us. We're reminded of how frail we are in life, how there's times where we feel overcome and overwhelmed, but that you, Lord God, you stand ready to walk beside us, to carry us, to call us, and that all this is part of your design and your plan and your purpose. Lord, we give you this time now that we can rest in your presence, that we can open ourselves up to you in a way maybe beyond what we have done ever before, in order to receive, God, this relationship that is so well described in Psalm 23. In Jesus' name, amen. We closed out our Giving Drive series last week. We're starting a new series today called Gracefully Broken. And I want to introduce you to a type of artwork called kintsugi. Now, kintsugi is a Japanese form of artwork that will take broken ceramics and restore them. And what they do when they restore them is that they use gold, or they use silver, or they use lacquer that's actually tinted with gold. These are precious metals. And the technique consists of joining the fragments back together so that every piece then becomes unique, because every one has been broken in a different way. By repairing these broken ceramics, it's possible to give a new lease on life for these pieces of pottery. And they become even more refined thanks to the scars. The Japanese art teaches that broken objects are not something to hide, but something to display with pride. Today's sermon is called Precious Scars, which is another way that kintsugi is referred to. This is a four-week series. I'm speaking this week. Next week, Di Endicott, who many of you know, is going to be coming and sharing with us. And then the third and fourth week, Pastor Christina will be bringing us the sermons. Sermon notes, you will notice, are back to normal if you've been here through the Giving Drive. They were very extensive for a while. Well, they're back to normal. It's up to you to make your notes and write down your scripture references. But feel free to do that. They're found in your program. And if you need a program, they are in the back. Actually, Gail's standing right there, ready and willing to hand out a program if you need one, or a pen if you need that. Well, the seasons are changing, and you all probably know how I feel about that. We did get some sunshine this afternoon, but I'm not exactly happy that Monday is fall and that it has been raining and raining for many, many weeks now. Some people, I had like an epiphany the last month. I don't know why it's taken me this many years to figure it out, but some people enjoy the rain. And I am not one of those, and I know that you guys all know that, but I've always thought, why doesn't everyone feel the same, you know, disgust about the change of the seasons and just long for summer? And I realized that that's not something that all of us possess. God made us all very differently. I grew up on the other side of the mountains, and even in the snow, there was sunshine. So I adjust throughout the seasons. But as the seasons change, one thing that happens at church is that newness comes in the autumn, in the fall. And that happens because a lot of times our church calendar is tied to school begins, people's lives settle down, Vacation season is over. And so we begin a new season. And we kind of then look at a 9-month period of time until next May and June when you all book your vacations again. And I do the same. So it's a great time to take a little bit of a moment, of a pause tonight, to just kind of recount this last year. Let me mention that October 19th, we'll be done with this series, and we're going to be going into a new series called Who We Are. That Sunday is going to be Back to Church Sunday. I'm going to be sending cards out to people we haven't seen for a while, and people who you haven't seen, I would encourage you to invite. Or if there's someone that you've been inviting for a while who hasn't come, it might be a nice time to say, you're not going to be the only new face in the room. This would be a great week for you to come. But we're going to like kick off our autumn later in October. But it feels really important to me, and I feel like God has just laid it on my heart the last couple of months, that an inventory should be done about this last year. And this last year has been a year for many of us. There's a few things, I think, that have happened that have caused us to look and see that there's some brokenness in some of us, that there are some pieces that may have fallen off in different places because of things that have happened. And as we look at this particular series, and in particular today, Precious Scars, I want us to expand our thinking and recognize that the trials we go through in life and the wounds that happen and the brokenness that happens when restored by God make us even more beautiful and unique than we were before. There's three things that we're going to talk about this evening. Man, I thought I got over this morning-evening thing. Saturday evening, we are here right now. The first one is, I don't even think it's the elephant in the room, but it kind of is grief. And to recognize that there is growth that can come out of loss. The second is moving. Moving holds an idea of being propelled forward, wind in our sails. But after a certain amount of moves, in a short amount of time, that can actually prove to be trying. And the third thing I want to talk about is discouragement. And what I want to talk about there is how sometimes the way we deal with hurts, with scars, with wounds, with broken pieces, is by turning it towards ourselves and saying, what's wrong with me? And actually isolating. And we need to address that this evening. So I want to share something that I wrote in March of this year. And I found it on my computer as I was going through the preparation for this sermon, and it just was titled Thoughts on Grief. It says, recovering from grief is hard. I have gone through healing before from abuse and depression. I had hoped I would never have to go through anything as hard as that again, but this is much, much harder. My belief in myself is lost in the death of my husband. I've never been alone in my entire life. Emotionally, I suppose, I felt alone before, but literally, it has never just been me until now. Of course, my family is standing beside me. My church is with me. My God is with me. All of that is true and comforting, but there is a deep, deep loss that tears at your soul when you lose your soulmate. I am no longer whole. The one flesh has been torn apart, and I am left ragged and wounded from separation. My once strong self-image, now I recognize, fueled by my husband's deep love and adoration, is shaken to the point that I am so afraid that when I step out in the world each day that I'll hit a landmine. I really had thought my identity was well-rooted in Christ, but without Ted, my self-esteem suffers every day. Should I be angry about my losses? I suppose that's reasonable and may manifest at some point. I'm a little frightened of my anger because I have known it in the past, and it has burnt a path of destruction in every place it has ever touched, including inside myself. I've been reading the book, A Grief Disguised, and the author talks about asking the question, why me? I haven't really asked that question, but the thing that did stand out to me is his point that we should really ask, why not me? Life is full of unfairness, hardships, sorrows, etc. There's no rhyme or reason why bad things happen. They just do to everyone. Even those who seem to have a perfect life and have it so easy will and do suffer. Why not me? I'm not any different from anyone else. My suffering is as a young widow. Who thought this would be the thing that I have to look through to see my future? Now, most of you here have watched me navigate this year. A week from Tuesday will actually be a year. You've watched me navigate this year of grief, and you've felt for me, and you've reached out to me, and you've listened to me, and you've loved me. And many of you know that in April, I was able to testify that God changed the grayness that I was seeing everything through to a bright blue sky, to sparkling waters, and to white sand. And I was able to look at that as my future. He's given me newness in some areas, and I've continued to grieve loss in others. But I'm being made into a new thing, a beautiful thing, kintsugi. I had been broken and repaired before. Now I have even more of God's golden touch woven into my life. So today, as we head without hesitation into a series called Gracefully Broken, I want to ask all of us here a question. How is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? I know those who are here and who are believers have that golden string, those golden lines throughout your life, where God has touched you and renewed you and restored you. I also realize, though, that sometimes breaking occurs and we don't stop to notice or even bother to pick up the pieces. Because we're in a hurry, because we're on a mission, because sometimes we just have to hold it together. We find ourselves picking up our pieces and maybe rolling them up in our shirt and going along through life and trying to figure out our way. It wasn't too long ago that I mentioned to someone about the anniversary of my husband's death coming up and how it's on my mind, and especially on Sunday afternoons, because it was a Sunday that was the last day we spent together before Monday morning came. And that person said to me, don't think about that. Don't go there. And I said, I have to go there. If I don't go there, I'm not going to heal. We cannot pretend our broken pieces aren't on the floor or stuff them in our pockets or even put them in that drawer in your kitchen that everything else goes into. That someday we're going to get to and repair. Because God wants us to take time to take inventory, to take out those broken pieces, because he says, oh my goodness, what an even more unique vessel this can become. The loss of your pastor's husband can open up the pain of grief, even from loss experienced years ago, or more deeply cut what might not have as significantly impacted as otherwise. Ted's death was sudden and unexpected and untimely. And it's not just isolated to my grieving. Christina Tran lost her aunt and uncle in a tragic way in January. Cyrus, 2 weeks ago, lost his sister suddenly, unexpectedly. All of these griefs, grieving losses, can take a toll on us. George Babbitt was a staple here, and he passed away last December. There was a lot of loss that we experienced. And I realize that for those of you who have been with New Vision for any number of years, that Ted was more than just your pastor's husband. He was your friend. He was your mentor. He was the guy who would pace in the back of the room. He was the guy who would cry during the songs and often made other people who cry so much more comfortable. They would say, well, if that big guy could cry, I can too. He was the one who would put his hand on your shoulder and you knew the Holy Spirit was there. He was the one who carried the prayer mantle for us. And it's because of his passing that God has handed a prayer mantle to us. As a church, as his people, as his body. That is why God has called this church to prayer this year. To focus so mightily in prayer. Because intercession, standing in the gap is so important. You remember the story of Zacchaeus, that wee little man. I did a sermon on him a few months ago. And he was really an outcast in society. He wasn't liked by people because he was a tax collector. He indeed was a short man, but he liked to dress really, really well and act like he was all that. Well, Jesus came to town, as we all know, and Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus actually let himself be seen in less than this noble light by climbing up a tree. Probably in his very good clothes, to see Jesus. I imagine that there's some people that were distracted by him climbing up a tree. And they were like, ooh, there's that Zacchaeus guy. Oh my gosh, look at him climb up the tree. What if he ripped his pants? Wouldn't that be so funny? But you know what? Zacchaeus didn't care at that point. He just wanted to see Jesus. Why? Well, the Holy Spirit had gone before Jesus and it prepared Zacchaeus' heart. We know that that happens in our lives. We know that because those of us sitting here who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior know that the Holy Spirit went ahead of the moment that we confessed him as our Savior. We also recognize that those of us who are sitting here that maybe have been dealing with some wounds, some pieces that have fallen apart in our lives recently, that is probably the Holy Spirit who went ahead in order to bring you here today to talk about God restoring your scars and making them precious. At the very end of Luke's account of the story of Zacchaeus, in Luke 19:10, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save all those who are lost. Zacchaeus was lost. He didn't know who Jesus was. I've underscored here the word lost because in the Greek, what this word really translated means broken beyond repair. Zacchaeus, by many people in his culture, in his town, would have looked at him and said, he is rotten to the core. He is broken beyond repair. But Jesus saw him, and he saw him actually expose himself. He exposed a need. I need to see Jesus. he probably had no idea why, but it was something he felt so intensely that he chose to make a fool of himself and climb a tree and see this man. And Jesus looked up and said, I'm coming to your house today, Zacchaeus. And then he let us all know that he, as the Son of Man, which is a name Jesus gave himself, came to seek and save those who are lost, those who are broken beyond repair. Have you ever felt that way? Even as a Christian, have you ever felt that sometimes the break is beyond repair? And so you hide the pieces. So we hide the pieces. So that's why we have a junk drawer. That's why we have a garage. That's why we have a storage shed. Even in our own selves, that place that we can just put things aside and hope that nobody notices the chips in us. And maybe we'll forget, but do we forget? There's a feeling inside that just doesn't let us completely forget, unless we decide to numb out with some other means. Are we lost and only found once in our entire lives? I've often heard that verse where it says, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And I've always thought of it as those out there who do not know Jesus. But then I remember about how Jesus said there was a sheepfold, and there were the 100 sheep in the sheepfold, and the one got out, and he went after that one. And I realized that one was not a non-believer. That one was part of the sheepfold. We can all get lost at different points in our life. We can all feel lost. Navigating grief or any kind of pain and wounds that happen to us constitutes a time of deep, deep loss that leads to feeling lost, if not actually being lost. But Psalm 23:1 will show us the golden ribbon that comes to repair the breaks and restore the pieces into a thing of beauty. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Really, that's all we need to know. That's all we need to say. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Whenever you see the word Lord in Scripture and it's in all capital letters, that's Yahweh. That's the great I am. That is how God identified himself in a personal way to Moses. When Moses was out, Moses had run away from the people he was living with because he had murdered somebody. And he was scared, and he had run away into the wilderness, and that's where he was living for years and years and years. And then all of a sudden, he sees a fire in a bush that's, it's on fire, but it's not consumed, and then a voice comes out of it, and Moses is called back to go to the very place that, there might not have been a statute of limitations on what he had done. But when he asked, who should I tell the people that sent me? God said, tell them I am sent you. And anytime you see the Lord in capital letters, it's the great I am. It's interesting that Moses probably stood before God with his shoes off because it was holy ground and realized that he had some broken pieces. And he hadn't necessarily stored them right where he was living. I think he had left them when he fled, when he had so much fear. And he had to go back to that place with God, having called him. And I believe that God wove that golden ribbon through Moses' life. Because how else would Moses have been able to lead those people with such determination, with such assurance, and with such faith? Now it's appropriate to ask, why me? Why me, Lord? Why am I worthy to call you my shepherd? And not only believe, but expect that I have all that I need. It's because of grace. It's because of unmerited favor that turns scars into precious scars. Can we be brave and daringly uncover our scars? Other people may see them. Yeah. But most importantly, God can then reach them. God is so good at respecting boundaries. We, as human beings, could learn a lot from him. And the thing about God is that, yes, his Holy Spirit works in our life ahead of time, but he waits for us to make some decisions. And this is one of those decisions. One of those times when we recognize a need for healing. When we realize I can't hide the breaks, the cracks, the pieces anymore. I'm going to come forward with those, and I'm going to confess my need for healing. And when we do that, it allows God the ability to then reach them. Kintsugi, he can touch these scars, and they can become precious scars. Will they go away? Well, in a sense, they become something else. I would love to feel one of these dishes. I have a feeling it's completely smooth. I have a feeling that you can't feel the lines. It's not like when we try to glue our stuff back together. I think this is done so well and so refined that it's smooth. Although you can see where the cracks were, where the broken pieces have been put back together, that becomes our testimony. That becomes the words that we can speak to assure other people that you too can be healed. You too can be touched by the great I am. He is your shepherd, and he can put you back together too. And there is nothing too great or too hard or too deep or too bad for him to do that. Even the things that we think are broken beyond repair, Jesus came to seek and save and heal. Now, this is a heavy topic. And those of you who do not relate closely with the loss of Ted, I just hope that there's a way that you can connect to losses in your life, to things in your life that have burdened you, and that maybe, well, I can't even say maybe, I believe that constantly we are finding ourselves broken sometimes. No, constantly some, boy, I just contradicted myself. At this very moment, maybe you are not feeling broken, but tomorrow you may have something happen and you do feel broken. I believe that we will constantly be in need of a healer. That's what I'm trying to say. We're going to constantly be in need of a healer this side of heaven. And he can restore us in a beautiful way. We don't have to live with the chips. We don't have to live with the uneven pieces that we try to put back together. He is the beautiful restorer of our souls. Now, coupled with this topic of grief that I know it is mentioned here, probably from me quite often, thank you for your grace. It's a season, a journey that I am going through, and I have been in counseling since last December, and I'm continuing in grief counseling. The grieving, I have found out, doesn't end at the one-year mark. But the other thing I want to mention, and I had mentioned it earlier, one other thing, is that we had another major life event happen as a church, and that was that we had to move again. Did you know that if you have more than one major life event happen in a year, that it causes an enormous amount of stress? Well, we had the death of someone very close to us, and I know that some of you had more than one person to grieve this year, one thing to grieve. And then we had moving, the move. What about all the other moves? What about all the other rah-rah moments and promises that we'd believed in? One more time? Do we have it in us? Did we have it in us? Discouragement has been a word that I have heard spoken more frequently in the last few months than I've heard in the entire time that I've pastored here. And hearing the word discouraged actually pierces my heart. But I'm glad for the honesty and for the vulnerability that's apparent when those of you who feel this way have been transparent with me. But here's what I think about discouragement and depression and wondering and fear. Those have all borne down upon this body. I've talked to enough people that I know there's been struggles in the last year, few months. Many people with depression, financial issues, familial issues, health issues. There's been a lot of things. And then we had to move again. And we thought it was going to be so easy. We got to go into a church. Oh my gosh, we'd been dreaming of that for years. A place with soft seats. We have to all agree these are better seats than we had before. We don't have to set them up quite the same, although we are doing a little different stuff to the chairs recently, because there's been a feeling sitting in this room that there's been a little bit of disconnection. And when we all sit a little closer, then there's more of a feeling of family and a community. And it's really important that we feel a family and community. A way to uncover our wounds and allow God to bring his glory into it and produce healing can be boiled down to some simple things that we can do. Certainly, opening ourselves to God is the first one. Don't hide or run away. Share. Share what's going on with yourself with God. He knows anyway. And I know that we all know that. But sometimes we want to keep it to ourselves. Lest God really knows the garbage that we're dealing with. Share it with each other. Find a confidant. Find a counselor. Find a pastor. Find a friend. Find a small group where you feel safe. You are not alone in how you're feeling. Many who have been working through difficulties the last few months, weeks, months, year, have come to me wondering what's wrong with them. And I think that's a common thing that happens to us. We get discouraged or we get depressed. A lot of things go wrong. And we start thinking, what's wrong with me? And I think the enemy uses that to isolate us. We think we're different. We think we're wrong. We think we're sinful. We think we need to hide. We think we need to withdraw. We think it would be better if no one noticed us. We think we're afraid of what people might say about us if they only knew. And so we want to disappear. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to happen to each one of us. Disappear. Go away. You're a mess, and there's no hope for you, and those people are going to laugh at you. Well, that's not the truth. The truth is that all of us are in this together, and we are all broken, and we all have wounds, and we all have habits, and we all have things that are anchors pulling us down to the bottom of the sea, where God can not reach us. That's where Satan wants us, where no one can find us. But God can loosen that anchor when we make the decision to not run away, to not hide. It's a bold one, and it's a big one, and it's a hard one. But I challenge you to do that. I want you to also realize that life just gets messy. And if we think it's not going to, then we're going to be so sorrowfully disappointed. It's also okay to be upset. You know, when I spoke a little bit ago about someone who told me, don't think about your husband's death. It's okay for me to be upset. It's okay for me to cry. It's okay for me to feel, to identify those feelings, to tell God about those feelings, to tell my friends about those feelings, to tell you all about those feelings, to write it in my journal or type it on my computer. It's okay. You can be okay as you work through the rejoining of your pieces that will become precious scars. You don't have to just go from, I'm all broken up here in a pile of mess, and suddenly I'm put together and I'm shiny and I'm smooth. There is a step-by-step process that takes place. And no one expects you to be shiny and great overnight, other than maybe yourself. You know, there was one thing that I was hopeful when we moved to a new location, a new time, and a new day. I mean, there was so much in this move, and it was that it would help me forget somewhat of my loss. I'm going to a new place now. It's on a different day. It's at a different time. Surely I won't think about Ted every time I come to church. Well, that's not true. It didn't work out that way. And I know that I was hopeful for that, and I had other people mention that to me. Maybe this is what God's solution is, to make it easier. And I don't know about you, but it's been a bit of a struggle to adjust to our new. But good for you all. And good for me for hanging in there while we do that. The fact is, though, that this body of Christ that's called New Vision, we're not unsteady. We're not discouraged. We're not disappointed. We are not even broken in the eyes of Jesus Christ, because we are Jesus' body. And when we think about that, that body was pierced. That body had nail holes. That body shed blood. But that body rose again. That body rose again. And even though you could still see the scars after he rose, we know that he was touched by the hand of the Almighty God to breathe life back into him. And that is exactly what we are. We are the body of Jesus Christ, that the Heavenly Father has breathed life into. Do we have our scars? Has this year been tough? It's been my worst year of my life. But thanks be to God. They are becoming precious scars in each one of us. But as a body, as a whole, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are that vessel, that kintsugi, that is precious and able to hold whatever it is that God puts inside of us. We will not leak. We will not break again. Those areas that have been repaired and restored are as good as gold. The other thing that we can do is we can look for the root when we're feeling discouraged or depressed or fearful or wondering. Sometimes when we struggle and try to find answers, we have to understand what it is we're trying to solve. If any of you can relate to the statement or the question, "What is wrong with me?" that's a great indicator that it's okay to ask God, "What's the root in this?" Because there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. There might be something that happened to you. There might be a lie that you believed. There may even be sin lingering in your life that you have been having trouble shedding. But there's nothing wrong with you because Jesus made you in his image, and he's continuing to do that. We do ask him to reveal the root because it's important for him to show us and expose in us what it is that we need to bring forward to him so that he can touch it and he can heal it. I know this speaks true for me. Have you ever considered this for yourself? Have you ever considered saying or asking God, "What is the root of my fear?" Or what is the root of my discouragement? What is the root of my continual unhealthy choices? What's the root of my anger? What's the root of my sin? What's the root of my disappointment? Well, through God's revelation, he will reveal to us what is in need of his repairing touch. Because love casts out fear, and faith overshadows discouragement. And choosing life and health over destruction and death will turn one's life trajectory away from unhealthy choices and sin. Forgiveness will release one from anger. Understanding and acknowledgement can release us from disappointment. Personally, I believe that God has shown me that the feeling of disappointment is likely due to the lack of ourselves showing grace to us. I think we sometimes are so hard on ourselves that we're not allowing God to be our judge. We are our own judge. We choose to judge ourselves. We do not accept his grace, which will come with healing. I would often hear Ted quote Hebrews 11:1, and I imagine that you all have heard this too, where it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Even precious scars are evidence of a living faith." Which brings us to the third and final point, which is restore your faith. Take care of yourself. Give yourself and each other grace. Find a routine, including spending time with God and staying connected with fellow believers. Combat isolation. Satan wants to keep you in solitary confinement. It will break you and make you crazy. The door's open. You can walk out. You are not in a locked cell. That's a lie of the enemy. If anyone is feeling that way, the door is open. You can walk out. And what's so hard is that you wish somebody would come in and carry you out. But you know what? God wants you to use your own legs and your own will to do that. To walk out of the cell of discouragement or fear or sin or whatever you are dealing with. To walk out on your own and accept the light of Jesus Christ, who will and can restore. Keep seeking, keep attending, keep believing. Keep going through the motions of as much health as you possibly can. Because what you'll find oftentimes is that your feelings will catch up with those things, especially as you seek God primarily in your life. And so these three points take us right into our next steps, which means we take out our connection cards. And we put our name and address and phone number, if it's changed, on this card. And then we turn it over, and we look at the next steps. And we want to apply these things to our lives. The first one being, I will work to connect with my emotions. Getting in touch with those feelings. Are you grieving? Have you accepted that it's not just my grief this year, that it's yours as well? Have you allowed yourself to seek God's healing? Or has it come out in other ways? Discouragement, disappointment, fear? I don't know. The second thing is, I will ask God to reveal the root of my feelings. So here we are connecting with our emotions. What that means is going ahead and being like, yeah, I am scared. I do feel fearful. Admitting it and then bringing it to God. God, here's my fear. I don't understand it. Will you please expose the root of that? And then when he does that, we choose a life of faith, which means we give it to him. Here's the root. And sometimes it goes clear back to our family of origin that we find ourselves fearful because something happened that triggered something else that brought us back to a memory from childhood. And God wants to go clear back there to heal it. And we have the faith to say, okay, God, you do what needs to be done to bring about the healing that I need because I'm choosing a life of faith. I would be happy, honored, to talk to anyone who might be struggling through healing, hurt, habits, who needs a little bit of direction in order to pursue what it is that God has, in order to take those broken pieces and make precious scars. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our healer. There's just no two ways about it. You are our healer. You came to seek and save the lost, those of us who were broken beyond repair, humanity. Your word is a beautiful tale of your pursuit of the perfect relationship that you began in the garden that so badly got broken and deteriorated that was then restored because of Jesus Christ. That's what we see in this Japanese art, God, is the fullness of your love story to us. So God, I just pray that tonight as we begin this series of Gracefully Broken, that you will help us to be open to what you have for us to be able to be restored and healed and rejuvenated and encouraged because we're looking ahead, God, to this coming church year, realizing and recognizing that you have a plan for us. And that sometimes that plan is to sit for a moment with you and let you do the work in us before we're fully released. And God, I look forward to that. And I thank you that you've brought us to this point. I want to speak right now, God, and say thank you for this last year. I know that this is part of your plan. And though we do not understand a lot of things that happen in this life, the fact remains that you are good. Always. In Jesus' name, amen.